Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Just take a seat for a minute. We're going to just turn to Genesis 28. God is stirring and quickening something in these days with us as a church. Let's have a look at Genesis 28, verse 10 onwards. Jacob left Beersheba and he set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Now, it says here he left one place and set out for another. But then it says he reached a certain place and he stopped there for a night because the sun had set. So this certain place was obviously not that significant. It wasn't a major place. It wasn't a city. It didn't seem to be a place of significance. And the only reason why he stopped there was because it was too dark to carry on. He didn't have his Duracell torch with him and whatever they had in those days. But so he couldn't see where he was going, so he had to stay the night. But this place was a certain place, nothing special, nothing out of the ordinary. We don't know anything about it. It's just that the sun had gone down and he had to have a bit of a sleep. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep, as you do. I don't know if that's like some little sleepover places that you can sleep in these days, but I'm glad when I keep in a hotel, it's not on the floor and it's not a stone under your head. But it was usual for those guys to do that, and that's what he did. Lay on the ground, put a stone out under it, and obviously had a kip. Well, it must have been fairly comfortable, because look what happened in verse 12. It says, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord. And the Lord said in this dream to him, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid, or the fear of the Lord was on him, and then he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So suddenly it's changed. At the beginning of the chapter, or halfway through the chapter, he stops at a certain place and has a rest. He has a dream. God appears to him, speaks to him, and suddenly this certain place moves from just nothing out of the ordinary, meant absolutely nothing to him. We don't know anything about it. And then suddenly God appears and it moves from a certain place to an awesome place. What's the difference? God turned up and spoke something in the certain place and said, this is to be a place of significance. This is to be a place where heaven is going to come down on earth, and there's going to be a reciprocation of a response from earth to heaven. Now, Horsham as a town, maybe some of the towns around this region, this 25-mile radius, they're not maybe towns of significance in the natural. Horsham is not London. It's not Brighton in that sense. It's not a big place. Some of the other places, Worthing or Burgess Hill or East Grinstead or other places in our 25-mile radius, in one sense, they're just certain places. Some people stop in Horsham on the way past to go to McDonald's. Some go because of the museum, and some go because they need to go to the toilet somewhere, and so they pull over on their way somewhere else. Because on one level, Horsham is just a certain place. But when God gets his eye on something, something moves from certain to awesome. When God begins to speak and release his promises and his purposes to a people that are listening, then suddenly heaven is open and there's a stairway that is then connecting heaven to earth and earth to heaven, and down comes the presence of God. And there's a response from earth that says, this is an awesome place. God wants to do something that is out of the ordinary, beyond the natural, and to do something that becomes a gateway, as it says there, for the purposes of God to be released. What does God do? He turns up in the certain place and speaks something way beyond what could happen in the natural. He speaks something that is way beyond the possibilities of just a certain place. And he begins to speak something that's going to go from one generation to the next. He begins to speak of an increase. He begins to speak of a fruitfulness. He begins to speak of something generational that's going to go on and on and on. He was afraid. The fear of the Lord came on him. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Horsham's not the house of God. We as people are the house of God. Now, in terms of New Testament terms, God doesn't just inhabit a place. He inhabits a people. But if he inhabits a people, he's going to inhabit a place. And when God speaks about a place, it's because he's already inhabiting a people to work out his purposes in a place. And I believe God wants to work something deeper in us as a people during these days. Jane brought an awesome word last week. If you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to listen on the watch and listen pages on the website and listen to last week. It was a profound word from God for us as a church. And she was talking about God's heart as a father for people. And she kind of went through the word and described how he chose a people, Israel, what his heart is for the Jews, and how he constantly, even though, as you read through the Old Testament, they constantly blew it and turned their back on him, his heart was so much that he kept his patience, his mercy, his long-suffering, that he waited for them to respond so that he could then continue his purposes to be unfolded through them. And then what does that mean for us now in terms of God's heart as a father, for us as people, for our society? And then linked in with that, God's saying that this isn't just a certain place, but this is an awesome place. See, God's not going to reveal himself to people in a certain place if he's not going to do something awesome. Why does he reveal himself in a certain place? Because there's awesome things that he has purpose and plan to do. Not just in this place, but this place is a gate, as the word says here. It is a gate from heaven to earth. And so there's awesome things that God is opening up even more to release from this place out into the 25-mile radius, from here out into the rest of the nation, along with other gates that God is opening up around the nation with other people. And there's this kind of fusing of the kingdom of God being exploding in our nation in a fresh way in these days. And you and me, we're part of that in this day, in this time, in this hour. And so it's a time to stir yourself up. I just want to, when I was praying last week at one point, God said to me, when you stir something up, a movement begins to take place on the inside of you. When there's a movement, there begins to be a bit of momentum. When there's a momentum, there's a bit of energy that begins to be created. When there's an energy that begins to be created, then there's an action that begins to respond to that energy. And when there's action, things happen and God begins to do stuff. And so I believe, you know, God is wanting to stir us at this time and us to stir one another. And what Andrew and Jen have just shared about stirring us for really the ultimate reason why we're here, and that's to see a generation of people born again, getting saved, getting delivered, and being transformed. It's not about trying to have a great church and trying to do great church. It's about saving your neighbor, seeing our friends come to know Christ. It's about the person that doesn't know God at this point, the person that's lost in their soul, whether rich and has plenty or whether in poverty and having poor in the natural. Spiritually, when somebody doesn't know God, they're all in poverty. And God wants to quicken us at this time for the people that you and I know. In one sense, I believe God wants to begin to break our hearts even more for those that don't know Jesus. That he shakes us from anything that might be comfortable in our lives that we've set around ourselves. It's like God's still shaking to move us into a lifestyle of giving, a lifestyle of sowing, a lifestyle that is reaching beyond our own lives into somebody else's, into others' lives. Because basically that's why we're here. That's why this church exists. That's why any church exists on the planet. We don't just exist for revival. See, revival is what God does in the church, in the people of God. What's the fruit of that? It's a restoration or transformation of society around. And God's transformational purposes have already started, have already begun. You know, Faith Camp's going to be different this year. Now is the time is the theme, but there's loads of practical changes we've made in terms of the way it's organised and the schedule for the days and length of meetings and you won't have to sit on those solid chairs for so long and all of that. But you see, God's quickening what he's doing. And it doesn't take him 3.5 hours to do something he can do in 2 hours. Yeah. All right? But there's... the whole way he's going to speak and move and work is going to be different this year. Because God's doing something different. We're in a different season, a different time now. God's moved us and many others out of consumeristic Christianity. Amen. You know, where it's about me or about us or about, you know, whatever. But God is still turning things inside out, still reshaping, redefining things. And I know for many of you, God has placed things in your heart that you're getting involved in, which is reaching out in some way into people's lives. Whether it's something we do in the building here during the week, reaching people. Whether it is something out in the community where we're reaching people. Whether there's the development of other areas of projects and ministries, like the Child Contact Center, like Streetlight, and one or two other things that we'll kind of communicate that are just in the very beginnings of sometime soon when it's a little bit more established and how you can get involved in certain things. But you see, God is preparing us not just for an inspirational bit of evangelism. What God is forming and moving, he's putting things into your heart and into my heart to be involved in things that are going to actually bring a transformation in different parts of society. That it's not just an outreach into the town centre, although they're important because people get saved. But God wants to completely redefine the fabric of society. The challenge is for us now, do we believe that is what God wants to do? Do we believe that's what he can do? And do you and I believe that that's what I am part of? That's what we are part of together? That it's going to take a few years to see that turned around. But will we sow our lives today and really give ourselves today for something long term that's going to change the fabric of our community, of our town, of our region? Because that's what it's going to involve. That's what it's going to mean. Our time, our finances, our skills and abilities and resources. It's going to mean everything. But that's what else have we got to live for? What else is there to live for? If we've been saved out of the world and into the kingdom of heaven on earth, the kingdom of God on earth, what else is there to live for? What does the Bible say? I don't want to satisfy my soul, or I don't want to be satisfied, whatever it is about losing my soul. I don't want to gain the whole world, but yet lose my soul. Wow. With the busyness of life, jobs, businesses, just stuff that goes on. We know we're all called into different spheres of life to do all the things that God has called us to do. But within all that, you see, God has called us to be people who are transformers in those worlds. And some of that is to create wealth and finances for some of you. Others of you got other skills and gifts and where God's placed you in the workplace and all the different spheres of life. But right at the heart of all of that has got to be a kingdom dynamic of thinking, of heart, of such a heart for souls. And it's like, God, I heard a chat with Jen and Andrew earlier in the week, and they were sharing some things one morning and talking to them afterwards. And I was the other day, and they were talking, and we prayed at the end of the meeting. I didn't pray for the town or anything else. I said, God, do something in me. Work in me in a fresh way. Deeper than you are already. So that there's, I don't think cost. Because if something's in your heart, you don't think cost. You just give yourself. Yes. See, where there's a cause, you don't count the cost. Where you're living for something that's gripped your heart, you don't think, oh, what's that going to cost me? When you want something, you give yourself to it. You even give your finances, your time, your energy. Why? Because that's become what you want. And it's like God is just wanting to go that little bit deeper, step by step, little by little, that we're giving ourselves more. So that it's not suddenly God saying, jump from here to there in a moment. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. But God says, no, just step by step. As we heard Artie say the other day, didn't he? Two steps forward, one step back. Here's my little dance. That's it for you lot. That's my dance. So, but that's what it is. Step by step, little by little. But God, it's like goes deeper. His heart takes hold of you more, gets a grip of you more. And it's like, yeah, that's, come on, God. And you find you want to give yourself more to say. Why? Because it's becoming more of a desire that's gripped you. His heart for your neighbor, his heart for your family, his heart for your work, whoever it is that doesn't know Jesus. But see, these are the days we're in. These are the times we're in where God is mobilizing the church. Come on, guys, it's time to wake up and arise. It's time to see the society impacted. You have the power of God. You have everything you need. Just read the last bit after this. It says, early in the next morning, Jacob, verse 18, took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar. And he called the place and he poured oil on top of it. That was to consecrate it because he'd met with God there. It was to be, here's a consecrate, here's a moment, here's the place where I met with God. This is none other than, he called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. Though the city used to be called Luz. Bethel sounds a lot nicer than Luz, doesn't it? Where do you live? Luz. Okay. Sounds like a place where Spider-Man would live or something, doesn't it? Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Great. Well, that's interesting. Anyway, we won't get into tithing here. But there you go. That was before the law. So if you've got a problem with that one, just read there. So, you see, what was his response, because he met with God, is I want to give you a tenth. See, it's a heart thing. See, when you meet with God, there's a response, I want to give you, I want to give to you, I want to give to you, I want to give to you, I want to give my life to you, I want to give my finance to you. You know, it's like, you know, man, a tenth is just the first bit. Do you know what I mean? Actually, if we're fine about giving, giving a tenth is fine. Anyway, we're not going to go there today. So, we're going to just pray. Let's stand together. It's just gone 12. Thank you, Jesus. There's a quickening going on in the heart of God. There's a quickening going on in the Spirit of God at this time. And Andrew and Jen's just testimony at the beginning is powerful. It's a challenge to every one of us. You know, I know they've been out on the mission field, and you say, well, they've been out, they got fired up. Well, why can't we be fired up? Like they said, we've got a mission field around us every day. And we can see people's lives every day that are in need. And everybody needs saving that doesn't know Jesus. And so we're just going to pray. And whether it's Horsham or whether you live somewhere else in another town or village in the area, in the 25-mile radius, it doesn't matter where we live. God wants to give us more of a heart for the people in our town, for the town where we live. That it's not just a certain place, but it is an awesome place. Horsham is a place of significance because God has got his hand on it, because God has spoken about it. God has spoken to us as a people. He's speaking to other churches in the town. God is speaking to us. Why? Because as far as God's concerned, it's an awesome place. It's a place that can pit the house of God, where people carry the presence and the power of God. It's a place where he's saying it's a gate from heaven to earth, a stairway. There's an open heaven. It's like, come on, let's work with that open heaven. So you ready? Let's just pray together. If you know, this is what I prayed the other day. I said, God, my heart is hard. It doesn't feel hard, but it obviously is in relation to the passion, the zeal that they were sharing the other day and they shared this morning. It's like, God, you know, I've got a heart for people. I reach out to people and I pray for some people that aren't saved and all of that. But God, I ask you to stir in me afresh your heart, the passion, the zeal that you have for those that don't know you, those that at this moment are walking the wrong direction in their lives. And Father, I thank you that you quicken in me your heart for those that don't know you. Let as I walk around my town, let me see them with your eyes and with your heart. As I meet people that don't know you, let me see them with your eyes and with your heart. When I look at the obvious needs, let me see them with your heart and with your eyes. When I see people that rub me up the wrong way, let me see them with your heart and with your eyes. Where I hear about things and see things that wind me up that I don't agree with, Father, I thank you for your heart and for your compassion and the zeal that you have for those people. Let me look beyond the outside. Let me look beyond the surface. Let me look deep into their lives with your heart, with your compassion, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask you just to forgive me, forgive us as a people where we're slow to respond to you, where in any way we're just stuck in a certain way of living, certain routines. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you continue just to stir and encourage and as we stir ourselves up and as we pray and as we hear from you, as we stir one another up, that movement becomes momentum. That momentum is turned into energy or energema, God at work. And that energema is turned into action. That action turns into fruitfulness and the power of God being released. Father, I thank you that this is the time. These are the days that we're in to see those kind of things take place. Father, I praise your awesome name, your mighty name. Just want to read you a scripture, something God's been talking to me about in relation to this over the last week or so, actually. And where is it? Here it is, in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. Sometimes that's how we feel in the midst of life and circumstances, being bombarded with this, that, and the other. We feel insignificant and we feel, you know, whatever, we're out of our depth. But he says here, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. God's not looking for us to be wise and persuasive. Okay, it says here, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that their faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Now that doesn't, and then he says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. So it's not that we all walk around like a bunch of wallies, a bunch of idiots. But what he's saying is, it's not my wisdom and persuasive words that are going to do it. It's a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And as we heard from these guys, we have that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Increasingly, some of the thank you cards that are coming in, the orange cards about people getting healed of all kinds of stuff. God's power is at work in lives. You know, cancer's being healed, lumps going from people's bodies, stuff like that going on. And we'll have a few testimonies maybe in the next few weeks from people up here saying what God has done in their lives. But God is at work and his power is at work. But he's also, and he's saying, but come on, there's more. Come on, there's more. Don't be settled. Don't be satisfied. Don't just go with what you know already, but stretch out for more. Stretch out for more, like they did in Acts 4. They said, God, stretch out your arm to perform miraculous signs and wonders. Give us greater boldness than we already have had to share the gospel. Come on, God, this is the time. This is the day. Amen. Just think about the person that you're reaching out to at the moment, or the one, the two, the three, however many. It might be a family, could be a household. But just pray for them right now. God, thank you for your heart for them. Thank you for your compassion for them. Thank you for your just the zeal that you have for them. I thank you that you stir that afresh in me right now for my friend or for my brother or my sister or my parents or my kids or my neighbor or my work colleague, whoever it is, just pray for them right now. Father, I thank you for your heart for them. Thank you that you move in their life. Thank you that today is the day of salvation for their lives. Thank you, you've called them to be part of this awesome place, that you take them out of the certain place they live now and bring them into the awesome place that you have for them in these days. Father, I praise your mighty name. And Father, I just pray right now for anybody here this morning that doesn't know you. Father, I pray that you would just show them who you are today. That you just touch their hearts, work in their hearts today. Now, you might be here and you don't know Jesus. And you're like, something's happening on the inside of you this morning. And you've been talking to somebody, you've been hearing about Jesus, and you've heard stories about him and what he's done in people's lives. And that invitation is there for you today to respond to the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for each one of us. 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross on Calvary, on a mount, on a hill. And the Bible says that on that cross, he took every sin that man had ever committed and ever will commit. He took sin upon himself. And the Bible says he became guilty with man's sin. Instead of us having to be kind of stamped guilty and you've got to pay the punishment, which would be an eternal separation from God, Jesus said, no, I'll take that guilt on me. I'll take that punishment on me so that it opens up the way, so that it makes it possible for people to respond, to give their lives to God, to say yes to who Jesus is and to be forgiven and to be given a completely fresh start in their lives. And that's possible for every person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I'd love to pray with you and just pray together right now. If that's where you are, in your seat, standing up, wherever you are, and you're saying, I want to respond to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus and make a start with him. I want my sin to be forgiven. I want a completely new start in my life. And so we're just going to pray for a few moments, and then you can pray along and as we all pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for the amazing work that you did on the cross. I thank you that you took my sin along with everybody else's. And so I ask you to forgive me. I give you every sin. I ask you to clean me up. I give you my life right now. And I ask you to give me your life. I want you to come and live in me today. I want to follow you and walk with you for the rest of my life. I thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your goodness. And I praise your mighty name this morning. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you that you give me a new start today. And I want to serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I just pray, right, anybody prayed that in some way, that has just shared their heart with you and said, God, I need you. God, I want to know you. Father, I thank you that you just begin that work of salvation in them this morning. I praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to ask if there's anybody here this morning that you prayed that for the first time or something like that. If you can just raise your hand so I can see where you are. Anybody this morning? Thanks, mate. Is there anybody else? Anybody else this morning where you're just saying, all right, it's the first time I've responded, wanted to respond to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in these days. I thank you for what you're doing around this nation. Thank you there's a fresh stirring of your spirit and things happening in a way that we haven't seen for a long time. Father, I thank you for developing relationships with other leaders and churches around the nation as your kingdom people begin to connect in a way that we haven't seen for a long time. And your kingdom purpose is being outworked in our nation. So, Father, we praise your mighty, wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank the Lord where you're standing right now for opportunities this week to reach out to a friend, a neighbor, a work colleague, somebody that this week, God, I thank you that this week, every day, you're going to use me, work through me to see something happen in somebody else's life this week. That you're going to be a blessing this week. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be a word of knowledge. You could see somebody healed, lead somebody to the Lord, share the gospel with somebody for the first time. It might be needing a meeting a practical need, but every day, look for God to do something through your life. Every day this week, God, use me today. Let that be stirred up in you so there's movement, momentum, energy being released. God's life being released this week through your life, that you're looking for things to happen every day, because that stairway, that open heaven is open over your life today, this week. So it's like, God, what do you want to download into me, through me this week? How do you want somebody to respond to you this week in some way? So Father, I thank you for a week of fruitfulness, a week of lives being touched and transformed, a week of our life together being strengthened more and more as we meet together, do life together and go forward together. We praise your awesome, mighty, wonderful name. Come on, let's really thank the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.